Hi, folks. Bob Main here with another episode of your weekly Handgun World podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. This is episode number 290, I believe, of a practical show done by a practical guy like me. I don't come from a ex-military background or ex-law enforcement background or a gunsmithing background. I am just an everyday dude. I do some firearms training on the side. I do this podcast, a video podcast pretty much, and that's kind of it. I just, you know, this is something I have a lot of fun with, but I'll tell you this. I take my self-defense and Second Amendment rights very seriously. And I choose to carry a gun every day and protect myself. So, this episode is a little bit different than talking about guns every week. This episode is about home security. Not just using your pistol for home defense, but other ways to keep your home secured. We can't forget about basic things like this. Now, if you carry a gun every day, you're probably a very safety-minded, security-minded person, aren't you? Are you keeping your home as safe as it can be? Now, the only time your handgun is going to ever do you any good at home is if you happen to be at home when someone invades your house. But what happens if you're not at home? And I know what you might be thinking. Well, Bob, all it is just stuff. And I can replace that stuff. Yeah, that's true. If you're not at home and none of your family members are at home and somebody breaks in, all it is just stuff. But it's a very violated feeling. Thank goodness I have never been in a situation where anybody has burglarized my home or invaded my home, whether I was there or not. And it's never happened to me and my family. Now, I have talked to many people, and they just describe the extremely violated feeling. And it's something that you should do anyway. It's also a pretty well-known fact that if somebody successfully breaks into your home, and I say successfully, there's a very good chance that they will be back. So, are you securing your home? So, this week is going to be a little bit different than, like I said, than just, you know, talking about guns every week. And I like to keep this show full of a lot of variety. So, I'm cruising in the Handgun World mobile studio while I'm dictating this podcast. But recently, I was interviewed by another podcaster. She has her own radio show. Her name is Lisa Bedford, and she is the Survival Mom. Her podcast is mainly about prepping. She has what's called Survival Mom Radio. That's her program. She has a great blog called thesurvivalmom.com. And she appeals to men and women and young people. It's really cool. I like that. I like that she appeals to everybody. Thesurvivalmom.com, Lisa Bedford, she asked me recently to come on and talk about home security. So I jumped at the chance. Here's about a 43-minute interview. Enjoy.
Welcome to another episode of Survival Mom Radio Show, and today I am excited to have with me one of the very first persons who ever reached out to me when I started my blog over 5 years ago. And if you have ever tried to blog or you've thought of blogging, gosh, if a blog is just 2 or 3 years old, that's like 40 years, you know, in blog years, because blogs just come and go. But it was with the encouragement of people like Bob Main that really kept me going in those early months and the first couple of years that I was doing this. When you first start out with a blog, you don't know if even any one person is out there reading your stuff besides your mom and your husband. And my kids were, you know, too young at the time to be interested. So Bob Main is my guest, and he was one of the first people who got in touch with me when I started the Survival Mom blog. Bob is a home security expert. He has been in the home security industry for many years, and he'll tell us exactly how many in just a moment. But he also is the host of two podcasts of his own, and I would recommend that you subscribe to them on iTunes. They are Handgun World. If you want information, detailed information about handguns and their use and comparing one to the other, the calibers, etc., that would be the podcast for you over on iTunes, Handgun World. And his second is Today's Survival Show. And I was listening to a few episodes of this, I think last month, when I was driving by myself on a four-hour road trip. And just the types of guests that he has and the wide range of helpful information was really impressive. And so when I got home, I made a mental note to get in touch with him and ask for this interview today. So, Bob, welcome to the Survival Mom Radio Show.
Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate it. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, as I said, your podcast was very impressive, and one of your guests, he's an author, and I don't remember his name, but he had such great information. I was busy taking notes, and I was driving at the same time, and I thought, this is crazy, something bad's going to happen, and so I opened up my little recording app, because I was, you know, as I was getting all these inspirations and ideas from that interview, I wanted to make sure I made a note of them, you know, so I wouldn't forget. So, Bob, you are not only a podcaster, but you also run a couple of websites, and I think a forum as well, correct?
Yeah. I do run today's Survival Show Forum, and that's a forum of listeners who listen to my Prepper podcast, which, again, is called Today's Survival Show, and people can find that at todayssurvival.com. I don't have a forum for my firearms podcast. People can just leave comments on the website. And by the way, thank you for mentioning that. Mine's a very practical show. I don't get real techie on my gun podcast. So if there are ladies listening to this that are kind of wondering about a firearm for self-defense, they're not going to get a lot of technical stuff. It's going to be very practical, and I have good guests on that show, too.
Well, you know, I think everyone is looking for information, and even I have noticed, and I'm sure you have too, Bob, that once you become a gun nut, it's really hard to back away from that, isn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't consider myself a gun nut, but, you know, I mean, with today's situation the way it is, a lot of people, especially women, it's amazing. We're seeing record numbers of ladies
yes.
getting their concealed carry licenses and learning how to, at least the basics of using a firearm to defend themselves. It's good to see.
Mm-hmm. And that's something I've written about before on the blog. I probably should write a little bit more every once in a while than I do. But that's just one of your many, many hats that you wear. So in addition to hosting two podcasts and running a couple of websites, you also have been in the home security business for a very long time. Can you tell me a little bit about your background there?
I've been in the home security business for 14 years, and my background started off, I was selling alarm systems. I was going out a little bit door-to-door to businesses and homes and selling alarm systems. I was successful at that, got promoted to management. I worked for a big company, worked for ADT for a while, worked for some small independent companies. Then I worked for a manufacturer of home security systems. So I've had my finger on the pulse of the home security business for 14 years.
And that is exactly why I invited you on the call today, because whenever we feel threatened from the outside, our tendency is to hunker down.
Right.
And maybe that involves, learning about firearms or maybe stocking up on some food, maybe some water, and we start thinking, all right, what are the basics for survival? But we are surrounded by this building we are in, whether it's an apartment or a home. It's that home security that has to be one of the first layers that we address. So let's start off our conversation by talking about just the fundamentals. What are fundamental home security measures that any homeowner can take, whether they own or they rent?
Well, homeowners or renters need to understand that there are basically three levels. I call them three levels of home security, three barriers, for example. The first one is at your property line, wherever that may be. The second is at your doorways, and the third would be inside your home. And you have to take care of all three of those. A lot of people have a false sense of security, and they think, oh, well, if I just reinforce the locks or put in an alarm system, then I'm fine. I've found over the years that that's generally not good enough. And I'm speaking from experience because I've been to people's homes, many of them. I lost count of how many that were just broken into. You know, it's kind of funny. They'll wait to put an alarm system in until after they're broken into rather than do it as a preventative measure. But really, it's not funny. It's not funny when you meet a family who was just burglarized. But what I find is they didn't take care of the other two layers. They took care of maybe they reinforced some locks or windows, but they didn't take care of their property line, and they didn't have a plan for what happens if someone breaks in when they're home. And that's very important, because it does happen. So those three things I think that people need to understand. First of all, you got to protect all three. Are you with me so far?
Yes, and as you're talking about layers, I was thinking that applies to everything with prepping, with survival. You know,
exactly.
If all you stock up on are those just add hot water meals, you know, that's not really all there is to food storage, you know, and buying a Berkey, that's not all there is to water, you know, water storage and purification. So the layer concept makes a lot of sense. Go on.
Well, and then the other basic thing people need to understand is simply locking your doors is not enough. It's not enough these days. So what I used to educate people on is, first of all, look at your property line. And whether you live in the country, whether you live in the suburbs like I do, whether you live in an apartment or whatever. If you live in an apartment, you probably don't have a property line, and you really can't do much about that because the apartment complex is going to take care of the property security. But if you do live in a home or rent or whatever, look at your property line, you know, and there are things that you can do. There are things that you can do by planting shrubbery, trees, things like that. If you want to really get creative and spend some money, you can put lighting at your property line. You can put lights with motion detectors, so as soon as somebody steps foot on your property at night, there'll be a motion detector that'll pick them up and turn on a floodlight. All those types of things are very effective. They're very effective in home security. And that sends out a warning to whoever might be coming on your property line that, hey, you know, someone's watching you.
I posted an article on my website a few weeks ago, and it was written by a man named Jim Acosta, and he's not a home security expert, but he deals a lot with disaster relief. And
right.
The article was about maintaining your property so that it looks as though it's cared for. And if it's
right.
cared for, it means that people there are willing to defend it, which goes along with what you're saying. You put the lights out there. You make sure your property looks as though, hey, the people who live here, we care about this place. It's not run down. We don't have broken shutters. We don't have trash in the front yard and overgrown weeds. It is just the property itself.
Yeah, Lisa, that's a great point. I was going to talk about that. You know, if your property is taken care of, it sends a general message that you're home a lot, too. And the last thing that a burglar wants is to be noticed or caught or break into someone's property with someone home. Believe it or not, most of them don't want that. And can I share a few basics that a lot of people overlook?
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about extra keys. A lot of people... First of all, I think it's best not to have an extra key anywhere on your property. A lot of people make that mistake. I've done that. The safest place for a spare key is with a trustworthy neighbor or somebody like that. Burglars get pretty savvy, and if you might think that, oh, I can hide this key somewhere and nobody will ever find it. You know, think about it. Most burglaries happen when you're not home, and so they're going to have a lot of time, most likely. And if you think that your neighbors are watching your property 24 hours a day, I'm just going to put it bluntly, you're wrong. They're not.
Yeah.
They may say
yeah.
they do, but they don't. So as far as hiding a key, give it to somebody that you trust. If you do have to hide one, if you really have to, get as creative as possible. But you know, I don't suggest that. The other thing is that instead of hiding a key, one thing I recommend that if you're the kind of person that's gone a lot and you really are concerned about, you know, having access to your property or somebody else having access to your property that you want to be there, but when you're not home, consider getting one of these little keypad locks that can be installed on your door, and they're not very expensive. Any local locksmith can do it, but it's an electronic keypad and you can put a code. You can put a 4-to-6-digit code in there. So when you punch in that code, it automatically opens up your door. That's a lot better than hiding a key.
And I see a lot of the garage door openers.
Yes. Let me talk about garage door openers. Yeah. There's a lot of myths about that. There's been a myth floating around for years that people can easily duplicate the code of your garage door opener. It is possible. It's not that easy to do. So let me bust the myth. It's not really easy. You've got to have a lot of fancy equipment, and you need to know how to use it. And the garage door manufacturers have been pretty savvy to that. And without getting too technical, they're making garage door openers that are much more difficult for someone to break that wireless code. Now, having said that, there's a few things you can do to secure your garage door. First of all, get rid of that cord. Get rid of that cord that you pull down on to unlock your door from the inside. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Cut that off. Cut that off of your garage door opener. Go out to your, anybody listening to this, go out to your garage door and get on a ladder, get on a 4-foot ladder and push on the top of your garage door. You'll find that if you push on the top of that, it will probably separate from the frame of your garage by 2 to 3 inches, maybe even more. Burglars figured out that they can stick a wire in there, they can stick something in there with a hook, and they can get a hold, easily get a hold of that cord hanging down and pop your garage door open.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that.
Yes. Well, I've done it. I've done it to get into my own house. Years ago, I did that when I locked myself out. So after I did it, I thought, you know what? It's got to be easy for a burglar. So cut that thing off. If you want to spend the money, you can put security, if you buy an alarm system for your house, you can put a security contact on your door, meaning that if that's opened by someone, you know, other than you, it's going to set the alarm off. It's going to give you time to get in your house and put in your code and turn everything off.
Mm-hmm.
That make sense?
Yes, and these are all simple things to do, and they're not expensive.
No, they're not expensive. They're not expensive at all. The other thing, you know, you need to understand the vulnerable points of your property, first of all. Do you have on the outside of your property, on the perimeter of the property, do you have bushes or trees that are easy for someone to hide in? If you do, I would strongly suggest you keep those trimmed on a regular basis, so it's less difficult for somebody to hide in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so think about that, especially at night. Your home itself, you don't necessarily have to put an alarm system in. It's a deterrent. I will say that just because you put an alarm system in, don't have a false sense of security and think that that's going to keep everybody out, because there are people that will challenge that, and then you have to have a plan for the inside of your house. But the other simple thing that people can do that costs virtually nothing, and I think you're probably like me, Lisa, and your listeners probably are, we like low-cost solutions, right?
Right.
Okay. Think about the locks that already exist on your door. On the door jamb, there's a little plate there that mm-hmm. the lock locks into. Anybody can do this. Any woman, any guy can do this. Get a screwdriver, and take those screws out on that little strike plate that's on the jamb of your door. You'll find those little screws are most likely little quarter-inch to half-inch screws.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually shocking just how insecure those are.
Well, not only that, but think about what they're screwed into. Most of the time, they're screwed into just the little piece of wood
that's
in your door jamb, which is maybe half an inch thick at the most. So here's what happens. When someone kicks in your door, it's not the lock that breaks. It's not the door that breaks. Those screws separate from the wood. And it's not hard to kick in a door that's only being secured by half-inch screws. Almost anybody can kick that door in. So here's what you do. You go to Home Depot or Lowe's or a lumber yard, and you buy some 3.5 to 4 inch wood screws, and you replace those half inch with the 3.5 to 4 inch, and what you're doing is you're driving that screw into the 2x4 frame around your door. That really secures it, because that's much more difficult for somebody to kick that in.
That's an excellent tip.
And the
you're
package
right.
of screws, the package
yes.
of screws, like $2 or $3 per package.
Mm-hmm. For every outside door, that would not be expensive whatsoever. And I think all of us do fear home invasions.
Yep, we do. Just make it, first thing, make it more difficult for someone to kick in your door. We find that most home invaders, most of them come in through a door. It's the easiest way. Mm-hmm. Sometimes through a window. And by the way, that's another myth. Most people seem to be much more worried about their windows than their doors. 90% of the time, the bad guy is going to try to come in through a door.
Interesting.
Yeah. 90% of the time, 90% of the time they're kicking in the door. And it's not that difficult. So make it harder for them to kick in the door. The other thing is if you have doors with glass, a lot of people have that. If you have doors with glass, they will break the glass. So you need to have some kind of a plan. What's going to happen when they already get in your house if they break the glass?
Exactly.
If you've made it very difficult for them to bust in a door, they'll try a secondary option. So you have to have a plan what's going to happen when they do get inside your house.
You know, that would be a good time for us to take a break, Bob. That's like a cliffhanger right there.
Okay, good.
Let's take a real quick break for a network announcement. And when we return, Bob and I will be talking about having a plan for that home invasion. And then I'd like for him to go into detail about maybe some of the pricier options that are out there. He's talked about very low budget or free ways to secure your home. But we also know that there are other things. I don't know, video cameras. I don't know what all is available anymore because just like every other industry, the home security industry has evolved and gone high tech. So, and also we'll see from, we'll hear from Bob if it's worth it. Is it worth the money for that that alarm system? So this is Lisa Bedford with the Survival Mom Radio Show. I'm with Bob Main. And we will be back in just a moment.
Good afternoon. This is your captain speaking with just a little flight information. Coming up on the left, we're going to be catching a glimpse of the Grand Canyon. On the right, you can be able to see the Hoover Dam in just a few minutes. We're flying at an altitude of 37,000 feet, and our airspeed is 400 miles an hour. Couple little facts here. I'm packing a Colt King Cobra. That's a 357 caliber firearm with a black rubber grip and a 6-inch barrel. Also, the co-pilot is carrying a Kimber custom defense pistol with all the bells and whistles you'd expect from a custom gun of that kind, with an alloy frame and bevel treatment on the entire gun. And our chief flight attendant, Roger, has a Ruger Bearcat 22 with a hand-fluted cylinder. All three are capable of piercing body armor at a distance of up to 27 feet, and it can put a hole in human bone and flesh the size of the Grand Canyon, which, by the way, is coming up on the left-hand side of the plane, so just sit back and relax and enjoy the rest of the flight.
A home invasion. When I hear those stories on the news or I see them reported on Facebook or elsewhere, the first thing I want to know is what happened next. Were there any family members harmed? Was it a violent attack, or did they just burst in, take what they wanted, and leave? Very often, those home invaders select a home that is protected by people who own and know how to use firearms. So things don't always turn out the way the home invaders expect. So Bob was just on the verge of telling us how to make a plan for that home invasion, should it ever happen. And Bob, why don't you just take it from there? What do we do?
Well, before that, can I back up a little bit and talk a little bit more about lighting?
Sure. Yes, please do.
Lighting is very, very important, especially at night. Some people get this backwards. Some people like to leave lights on inside the home when they're gone at night. Now, think about that. If you leave a light on inside your home when you're gone at night and someone should look inside of a window, is it going to be easy or hard for them to see inside your home?
Mm-hmm. Pretty easy.
Pretty easy. Turn the lights off inside the home. Turn the lights on outside the home. Now, just the way people's eyes work, at night, if there's a big bright light or two or three outside the home shining, but it's dark inside the home, it's very difficult for the burglar to see inside, isn't it?
You know what? I've never thought about that before, but you're right.
Yes. Make it difficult for them to see in. And make it easy for you to see out. If you are at home at night and you have bright lights on outside, it's easy for you to see them outside, but it's very difficult for them to see you inside. So if you're going to install lights, and I highly recommend it because lighting is a huge deterrent, and you can buy timers to make your lights come on at a certain time every day, which I highly recommend. You can get timers, or you can buy lights with timers. They're not that expensive. You know, go to Home Depot or Lowe's and price that. And they can come on at a certain time at night and go off at a certain time in the morning. You know, you have to remember that a lot of burglars and bad guys, they're casing the neighborhood, and they're trying to figure out people's schedules. And so if you have a constant schedule and your lights come on at a certain time, it's a big deterrent. So I wanted to put that in there before we talk about having a plan and what happens when someone gets inside.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Okay, so I hope it never happens to anybody. I hope it never happens to anybody. that somebody actually invades your home. But it does happen. In America today, they say it's about every 20 seconds. And that can be anywhere from a simple smash-and-grab burglary to a full-scale home invasion. About every 20 seconds in the United States, about 3 million times a year, roughly, it happens.
Right. Wow.
Now, I'm not trying to be scary. I'm just stating fact. It happens. And take a guess when most burglaries happen.
A burglary, not a home invasion?
Correct. Let's talk about burglaries first. Yeah. Take a guess when most of them happen.
Boy, I would guess that during the day when people are at school and at work.
Yeah, between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. every day.
Wow.
Because there's less likely for someone to be home. Especially in America today, we have families that where both parents work, the kids are in school. So during the school year and both parents are at work, there's generally no one home and maybe only a dog. And I'll get to dogs in a minute. But that's when it's less likely. Again, the last thing that a burglar wants is someone to be there when he breaks in. Now, home invasions typically happen in the evening hours or the early morning hours. But as far as burglaries, remember, the daytime is the most critical. So having a plan when somebody gets in. Well, I hope it doesn't happen. But there's a few things people need to prepare for, since this is pretty much a prepping show here. The first thing you need to prepare for is, what are you going to do if you're at home? First of all, know your state laws about defending your house. Every state's a little bit different. Lisa, you and I are in Texas. Texas is very friendly to homeowners. They basically give you as much leeway as you want. We have the Castle Doctrine here. Basically, someone comes in your home, you can pretty much use whatever means necessary to remove that person.
Uh-huh.
To remove that threat. And if that means pulling out a firearm and shooting them, if that's what it takes, then that's what it takes. You need to be prepared for that. You need to have a firearm. You need to know how to use it. And if guns are not your thing, if you don't want to have guns in the house, fine. There's other things that you can do. There are plenty of ways that you can defend yourself with what they call less than lethal objects.
Mm-hmm.
Have a plan. Take a course. The best thing I can recommend is find your local martial arts school, preferably if you have a Krav Maga or MMA school nearby, and ask them if they offer in-home self-defense classes. You will be surprised. Many of them do offer that. And especially for women, a lot of them have in-home self-defense classes for women. And they'll teach you how to use simple objects in your house as a weapon to defend yourself. So I strongly recommend taking one of those classes.
That's good advice.
Yeah. Get into one of those classes. Now, do you have a plan to exit your house? The best thing I can recommend is if you can get away from the threat, fine. But you're going to figure out in about 1 to 2 seconds whether you're going to be able to get out or whether you're going to have to deal with this threat.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody is different. I can't recommend a specific plan that fits everybody. This is not a one-size-fits-all solution because everyone's home's different. Everyone's ability is different.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah, you know what? There's a guy that I recently interviewed on my Handgun World podcast. There's a cop out in Northern California. I recently had him on. He brought up a really good point. It was episode 286 of my Handgun World podcast. This cop actually goes to people's houses. He offers a service where he goes to their home and teaches them how to defend themselves in their own home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I kind of like. If you can find someone like that, or if you can at least take a home defense class from someplace, and just Google them or look them up in your area, you'll be surprised. They're out there. They're well worth it.
I think that's interesting. And it would be great if he offered a YouTube video for people who aren't in his area or can't hire him to come over.
It would. That would be good. I'll suggest that to him. Something else I would suggest, though, as a tip, flashlights. I don't know how many people listening to this keep a good flashlight by your bed, but you need to. Husband and wife both need to have a flashlight on both sides of the bed. A good one. A nice quality one. Spend some money. Don't get a cheap $7 Walmart flashlight. Get something good that you have to spend some money on that has a lot of lumens and is pretty bright. Once again, light deters. Have a good flashlight. Lisa, I can tell you, I don't know about you, but I've been shined, I've had a bright flashlight shined in my face before at night. And I can tell you what, it'll blind you and it will disorient you, and it's a great defensive tool, especially if you need to buy yourself an extra 2 or 3 seconds to grab a weapon or to grab a baseball bat or a golf club or something. Have a good flashlight. Besides that, if you need to investigate something, you got to have a good flashlight.
Mm-hmm. That's good advice.
Most
these things are just really basic, aren't they? There's a lot of times we think we need tripwires or lasers or something, you know, to defend our home. And really, so far, you've been talking about things that just, they're common sense, and yet, how many of us might not have that good quality operating flashlight right by our bed? And that's just one simple step that you've suggested.
You know the old saying, Lisa, common sense ain't so common.
Right.
And some people just don't do that. You know, how many of you listening right now, go to your bedroom and check to see if you've got a good quality flashlight by your bedside.
Yep.
Most people don't do it.
So now, what about the more expensive options that we have?
Okay, the more expensive options. Cameras. I spent a lot of time in the security camera business. Boy, technology has really helped us out today. You can buy cameras that really aren't very expensive, probably anywhere from $75 to a couple $100 each. You can buy cameras that will either wirelessly or using wires, if you know how to install it or want to pay somebody to install it, and you can watch your home from your smartphone or your iPad or your laptop. So at work, you can have your browser on your iPhone open, and you can be watching certain rooms wherever you have a camera installed.
Right.
And it'll record it. It'll record it. So if you do have a break-in, you may have a recording of that break-in. You can also put exterior cameras out that are resistant to weather. That'll do the same thing. They'll broadcast that signal over their iPhone or their iPad. And the question I often get asked, which one? There's so many good ones out there. Get on the internet, do some searching. If someone wants to send me an email, and if you find something and you want my recommendation on it, bob@todayssurvival.com is a great email address to use.
Sure.
And send me an email on that.
What about whole house systems?
Well, whole house systems, yeah. I mean, first of all, an alarm system. I am a big fan of alarm systems first to protect the perimeter. There's two things, basically three things an alarm system does. It is a deterrent. There's no question. Years of statistics have shown homes with an alarm system are broken into far less or invaded far less than those that do. There's a company out there called SimplySafe.com. I highly recommend them. People have probably heard their ads. SimplySafe.com, there's no long-term contracts. I don't work for them. Disclaimer, I don't work for them. Don't make a dollar. But I know some people who have installed it. And they love it. SimplySafe.com is an excellent home security system to check into. And put that sign out in the front yard and backyard. There's two signs in my house, one out in front, one in back, saying this home is protected by an alarm system. Let me bust a myth. People say, oh, I don't want to advertise to people that I have an alarm system. Why not? That's a deterrent. It's been proven that that's a deterrent. If burglars are casing the neighborhood and they see two homes with a sign in front and 10 homes that don't have a sign, where do you think they're going?
Right, exactly.
You know, however, if they decide to break into your house and you have a whole house alarm system that protects your doors and maybe a couple of windows, they're probably going to hear a very loud siren, which again is a deterrent. When they hear that siren going off, oh crap, we hit the wrong place, let's get out of here.
Right.
And they probably know that somebody is going to be calling authorities. So here's another myth. Oh, I can install an alarm system in my house, but I don't need it monitored.
Uh-huh.
Because the cops will take too long to get here anyway. Okay, let's back up and think. That's correct. It'll take the cops too long to get there. By the time the cops get there, the whole thing is over with, and cops at that point are a historian. They're recording a history of what happened. But here's the thing. It sends a message to the bad guy that somebody is going to be showing up at this property very soon. And insurance companies know this, which is why they give you a homeowner's insurance discount for putting in an alarm. So there you go. It helps pay for your system. I get a discount of about $140 every year from my homeowner's insurance company.
Right. Same here.
Year after year, that pays off. Insurance companies know. A home with an alarm system in it, those people file far less claims. So, look, insurance companies are in business to make money. They run the numbers. They know that it works. And guess what? They don't give you as big of a discount if your alarm is not monitored. Why? Because they know that at some point in time, police are going to arrive, and it just simply is a deterrent. It works. Now, having said that, an alarm system combined with cameras inside your home, very, very good idea if you can afford it. And again, it all depends on someone's budget, but if you can afford it, that's a very good idea.
And are there any other high-tech products that we should know about and look into?
Well, camera systems are pretty high-tech, especially what we call IP cameras. IP means Internet Protocol. In other words, those are the ones that will broadcast to your private device what's going on. That's pretty high-tech.
Right.
You'll find that, like, SimpliSafe alarms, for example, that's wireless. There's no wires. So that's pretty high-tech. It also uses a cell phone signal to help call the authorities, not a, you know, who has hardwired landlines anymore? Very few people,
right? Fewer and fewer.
Fewer and fewer. They're going away. So find an alarm system that uses cell phone technology. Why? Well, burglars got pretty smart. Here's another myth. You wanted me to do some myth busting. Here's a myth. Burglars are stupid. That's not true. Burglars are not stupid. Home invaders are not stupid. These are hardened criminals, and that's their living. That's how they survive. You know, these are desperate people, and they do desperate things, and that's how they survive. And they're smart. They're a lot smarter than you think. Well, they were cutting people's phone lines. People had alarm systems hooked up to a landline. They were just going around the side of the house and using a wire cutter and snipping the phone lines. Now, guess what? The siren's going to go off, but no one's going to get called because the phone lines have been cut. Well, you can't cut a cell phone line. So get an alarm system that uses cell phone technology.
That makes a lot
pretty
of
high
sense.
Tech.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Really
so,
good information and a big variety, Bob.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that. There's a lot of high-tech things you can do. I don't know how much more time we have, but those are a couple. Cameras and a good alarm system, that's high-tech.
Yeah. You know, I guess I did grow up being a little skeptical of home alarms just because I sort of categorized them with car alarms. When a car alarm goes off anymore, no one even pays any attention to it. But that's not the case with home security systems at all.
No, and it's not the case. And, you know, I talked about neighbors earlier.
Yes.
Okay, don't assume your neighbors are watching 24/7. However, if you do have a neighbor, for example, that is home a lot, as soon as they hear that siren go off, it's going to alert your neighbors. And your neighbors may or may not choose to get involved, but at least maybe they might be witnesses to the event. You know,
it actually would be helpful if you have trustworthy neighbors to even let them know that you have an alarm system and tell them, hey, if that you ever hear that alarm go off, you can depend that we didn't set it off accidentally. You know, go ahead and call the police.
Exactly. And remember, the last thing a bad guy wants is to be seen or identified. And so once that bad guy sees that a neighbor now has been alerted, and maybe the neighbor may or may not get involved, but once the bad guy figures out, now the neighbors know what we're up to, oftentimes they cease what they're doing and they go somewhere else. And that's your goal. A person's goal is really to never confront somebody, a bad guy, in their home. The goal is to deter them from doing their bad deed in the first place.
So you want them just to walk right by your house. You don't even want to. You should have a plan, like you mentioned earlier. You should have a plan. You should be equipped with a firearm or other training. But the whole point of it is you want to make your property look as though, buddy, you don't want to come here for whatever reason.
Exactly. So, again, the three layers, the perimeter of your house, the perimeter of your property, the outside of your home, and the inside of your home. And if they bust through the first two and they get inside your home, you better have a plan. My plan is You know, I got a firearm, I'm skilled in using it, I can access it very easily, it's very safe when I'm not using it, and by golly, they're going to be looking at the business end of my pistol if they don't leave within about 1 second.
Right. Things happen very, very quickly in those scenarios, too.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. Most people don't realize how fast this all happens.
Yeah.
I mean, a matter of seconds. I mean, 30 seconds or less, the whole thing could be over.
Yeah.
So, you were right. You were right earlier, Lisa. Make your home a hard target. Make it very difficult. Send the message to bad guys, you don't want to come here.
Mm-hmm.
And don't
you know,
do stupid stuff. Can I talk about something stupid?
Sure.
There's a neighbor here where I live. There's a neighbor here where I live that has a sign in his front yard with a picture of a gun, and it says this home is protected by Second Amendment security.
Uh-huh.
Stupid. That's very dumb. Okay, I understand what he's trying to do. He's trying to send a message, if you come in my home, I'm going to shoot you. But what also does that say?
Well, we know that burglars like to steal firearms.
Yeah, it says I have guns in the house, you can steal when I'm not here.
Yep, all they have to do is get inside.
Yeah, now, maybe the people might have their guns in a very secure safe. But why advertise that? I'm a big fan of advertising you have an alarm system. I'm not a big fan of advertising that you have stuff in your home that people can steal.
Right. Especially something that we know is such a desirable item as a firearm, whether it's a handgun or a rifle.
Let me talk about some other stupid things people do. Because you brought up the subject of, you know, don't invite a bad guy. Think about your garage. How many times do you buy something valuable, you take it out of the box, a flat screen TV, for example, you buy a new flat screen TV, okay, and you take it out of the box, you hook it up, and then people will take the box and they'll either throw the box in their outside garbage can or they'll store it in their garage.
Right.
I can't tell you how many times I've gone by a house and I've seen the box of a 50-inch flat screen in their garbage outside, waiting for the garbage to come pick it. What did you just advertise to every burglar that's coming in your neighborhood?
Yep. You got a new big screen TV.
That you got a new big screen TV. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Don't put those boxes outside in your garbage can. Don't even leave them in your garage. Destroy those boxes if you don't want the box anymore, or hide it in your attic or something like that, you know, to where people can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as you open your garage door, if a burglar happens to be casing the neighborhood and he sees that box for the 50-inch TV in your garage, guess what? You just told him you got a 50-inch TV.
You were going to mention dogs.
Oh, dogs, that's right. Yeah, one stupid thing. Yeah, here we go. People think, oh, I got a big, bad, mean dog, and my big, bad, mean dog is going to protect my property, and I don't need anything else. Stupid. Baloney. That is a myth. Bad guys know how to defeat dogs. Bad guys will shoot your dog. They'll throw your dog a piece of poisoned meat. Bad guys often work in teams, Lisa. Sometimes there's two or three people,
right. Not
just one.
Right.
And sometimes one guy will go to the back door and distract the dog while somebody else at the front kicks in the door and takes some of your stuff. They'll shoot your dog in a heartbeat. They'll throw him some poisoned meat, and the dog will quickly die in the corner while they're breaking into your house. Dogs are not as much of a deterrent as people seem to think that they are. I've been to a lot of people's homes to talk about protecting their home in the past, and they had a giant dog that was barking the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And some dogs, their bark is a lot bigger than their bite, too.
Right. I think a lot of times we have the gun, we have the big dog, we have the home security system, and we think, you mentioned earlier, it's that false sense of security, everything's okay now. And then we let our guard down in other ways. Like you said, just leaving just something as simple as leaving a box or some kind of packaging out in plain view of something expensive that you just bought. You know, that can
exactly.
kind of just every, you know, all of your good intentions and all of your plans. Just, you know, we need to be aware all of the time. It's not just the fancy stuff and putting things in place, but it's that awareness that has to be there, probably overarching all of the other layers that you've mentioned.
Can I say something else about dogs real quick?
Oh, yes.
I know a dog trainer who specifically trains dogs for protection. And one thing he told me is most dogs are trained, and it's kind of a natural for a dog. They will protect you if you are home. But if someone breaks into your home and you're not there, the dog doesn't quite understand what to do. You're not there, so there's no reason to protect you. And most dogs might bark and make a lot of noise, mm-hmm. but if you're not home and people break in, oftentimes that dog will not attack because you're not there.
Right.
Especially if it's a trained attack dog. So people need to think about that. Is a dog a deterrent? Yes, it is a deterrent. But don't just rely on your pet to take care of business, especially when you're not home.
Well, I'm going to go out and cut that cord that I know is hanging down in our garage for the garage
yeah.
door.
Yeah.
We always leave our doors locked. I've trained the kids that that's what we do. So I'm just going to go through the checklist and see, okay, I have this in place, but I don't have this in place. And I'll bet that my listeners do that as well. Lots of great tips, Bob. And it just, your experience in the whole home security field, it shows. And not only are you, has this been your career for 14 years, but do check out Bob's two websites, todayssurvival.com and handgunworld.com. I would recommend that you subscribe to his podcast. When you subscribe to a podcast, you can listen to that podcast anytime you like. You don't have to go to a website to listen to it. You don't have to wait until, you know, Sunday afternoon at 2. You can just open up, whether it's your iTunes, Bob is on iTunes as well as the Survival Mom Radio Network. But those episodes are there on demand. And right now I have Bob's website open, and I can see, I can run through episode 246, 245, you know, and all the way down. And so you find something that you like when you subscribe and you listen to it right then and there. So do subscribe to his shows. Today's Survival Show is on iTunes. Handgun World is on iTunes. And so give those both a listen. Bob, thank you very much for spending this time with me today. I know you're a busy guy.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it, Lisa. And if people do check out my website, episode 163 on today's Survival Show, I specifically addressed home security. So
wonderful.
If people are interested in that, episode 163. Lisa, thank you for having me on. I very much appreciate that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Do visit my website, thesurvivalmom.com. And I invite you, if you listened to today's show and you enjoyed it, you know, when you go to survivalmomradio.com, you really should listen into Pioneering Today with Melissa Norris. And Melissa is not about home security, but she is all about just doing things the old-fashioned way. And I think you'll enjoy that show as well. That's Pioneering Today with Melissa Norris. Thanks for spending this time with me. This is Lisa Bedford, and I will catch you the next time around.
Well, many thanks to Lisa Bedford for having me come on her show. I hope you appreciated that. Hope you learned something from it. Maybe I didn't give you anything new. Maybe I did. Maybe I just reminded you of some things that maybe you needed to tighten up a little bit on your home security. If you have any questions about that, you know, please go to my website, handgunworld.com, and drop a comment in the comments section, or catch me on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/handgunworldpodcast, or just search for that in the search bar, you can converse with me that way too and ask me questions. Every time I post an episode, I start a link on Facebook, and also there's obviously the posting on the website, handgunworld.com. Ben and I just put up a new video on the Shooters Club. So if you're not a member of the Shooters Club, for only $75 a year or $8 a month, you can access awesome video content. We've got probably, I think, 23 or 24 videos up there by now. If you can't make it to one of our training classes, that's the next best thing. It's only $8 a month, folks. That's not much. Even less than that if you do the $75 per year option. You'll get emailed a password, and that password will give you access to all of the videos. The latest one, we did a demonstration on slide lock emergency reloads, speed reloads, reloads with retention, tactical reloads, and all that good stuff. And we broke it down, and we even did it all in slow motion and everything, so it gives you some great things you can practice at home. Some class announcements I want to talk about. Ben and I are going to Sioux Falls, South Dakota next spring. It's going to be in May, the 16th and 17th of May. We're going up there to team up with Paul Lathrop of the Polite Society podcast, and we're going to be doing a two-day Beyond Concealed Carry, Beyond Concealed Carry Enhanced. So I think you're going to like that. You can save $50 off the class tuition by signing up before the end of 2014. I know May 2015 is a long way off, but you can save some money. I'm going to California. I will be teaching Beyond Concealed Carry for one day, October 18th in Northern California at the San Joaquin Rifle and Pistol Club. Scott Sylvester, the owner and trainer at One Weapon Any Tool, he is hosting me out there in Northern California. So you can find all these classes at handgunworld.com. Every single class that I'm talking about has a sign-up page. Ben is teaching a rifle carbine course October 11th in San Antonio. You'll find that on the website. We're going to Dallas November. It's the first Saturday in November. I think it's the 6th or 7th. Or wait a minute. I was wrong about that. It's the 8th. Saturday the 8th. The 8th of November, we're teaching pistol fighting dynamics in Dallas, the art of making the first hit. Now, for those of you who have taken Beyond Concealed Carry, that's a different class. Pistol fighting dynamics, the art of making the first hit, that's a different class. If you've come through Beyond Concealed Carry, you're going to get a lot out of that. There really is a prerequisite for that class. You have to have either taken Beyond Concealed Carry with us, or if you've taken another training course that at least helped you get the basics down, at least giving you a good introduction to training, then that'll count as a prerequisite also. I'm going to put you on pause and take that call. Okay, so anyway, check out all the classes at handgunworld.com. I want to conclude the show, folks, by saying this. I want to extend a very sincere thank you to all of you who have been praying for me and everybody who have been reaching out to give me encouragement. I'm still waiting, as I dictate this podcast, I'm still waiting the final results of a recent bone marrow biopsy to see if any of my cancer is still in my bone marrow, because it was when I got diagnosed. It's not going to be as good of a prognosis if it's still there, and if my bone marrow biopsy is all clear, that's a much better situation for me to be in. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't afraid and sometimes down and depressed and sometimes positive. So I go through all of that. And, you know, folks, I just want to say this. I want to keep living, and I want to keep doing this, and I want to keep sharing all this good stuff with you about guns and about preparedness on my other podcast, and to just try to help keep making life better for everybody, me included, and all of you who listen to this show. Please keep praying for me. Jesus is Lord. And it's hard for me sometimes to remember that. I am a Christian. I'm a man of faith. I hope it doesn't offend you. But, you know, that's my beliefs. And Jesus is Lord. And a lot of you keep saying that he's got my back and that God has got my back. And I struggle with that. I believe it. I believe it. But sometimes I get down and sometimes I start to question, you know, why did this happen to me? And why are these things happening to my family? The illness that my wife's dealing with. A year and a half ago, she was told that she has ALS, which is Lou Gehrig's disease. And now my son has got some anxiety symptoms. And I can understand that, because both of his parents are sick and fighting life-threatening diseases. But as long as God gives me the ability to do this, I'm going to do it. And until if and when the good Lord decides that I can't do this anymore, I'm going to keep doing it, and I'm going to keep getting out there and shooting, and I'm going to keep getting out there and teaching classes. And I'm going to keep doing this podcast and the Shooters Club and everything I can do to help make lives better for people, because that's originally why I started this podcast and my other podcast called Today's Survival Show. That's why I started both of them. Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, and I've almost got this down word for word. I might have it a little bit off, but he one time wrote, "To know that even one life has breathed easier because you have lived, that is to have succeeded." And I believe that. And so, once again, folks, thank you for your prayers. I pray every day that Christ has given me a new day to live. He breathed life into me. And many of you are praising me for my courage and my positive attitude. And it's not always positive. I'll tell you that. It's not always positive. But if you wonder where I get some of my strength from, I get it from God. I get it from my faith in Christ. That's where I get it from. I get it from reading the Bible. I get it from reading encouraging books. I'm reading a book right now about a woman who survived cancer. It's called How Grace Conquered Cancer by Tish Hagee. And, you know, that's where I get the strength. And I get strength from my mentors, who I believe that God put in my life at certain times when I needed them. My mentors throughout my life that have taught me lots of things. And I get strength from you, the listener, that keep encouraging me and telling me that I'm making a difference. And you may not agree with everything on this show. You're going to hear next week from somebody who sent me a voicemail saying some of this stuff. You might not agree with everything I say, and that's okay. Because I want you to be an independent thinker. I don't want you to agree with everything, because a lot of what you hear on this show is my opinion. But I look at the listener counts, and people keep on listening, and they keep downloading, and they keep tuning in. So even though you don't always agree with all my opinions, I guess you must be getting something out of this show because you keep listening. So, as I've said before, if you keep listening, I'll keep doing it. With all that said, folks, thanks for listening to another episode of your weekly Handgun World podcast. I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. The loudest sound a shooter hears is a bang when he's expecting a click, or a click when he's expecting a bang. Shoot straight. Shoot safe. Talk to you next week. Goodbye.